When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Tracy Koga, and thanks for downloading this podcast from ilikehugh.com. If you can, give us a follow or a subscribe. And remember that all the information about the guests in today's episode can be found at ilikehugh.com. Now, let's get started.
Getting to love this Zoom because I am getting to meet such incredible people from all over Canada, all over the world. But I want to say hello to Serafin LaRivière. Did I pronounce it right, Serafin?
Yep, LaRivière. That's just perfect.
And right now you're in Toronto, but you said that you commute between Toronto and Montreal. And where else do you call home?
Toronto and between Toronto and a little tiny village in called North Hatley in the Eastern Townships.
Oh, beautiful.
Which has like a population of 400 year round. And then in the summertime, it goes up to like 3,000.
And that's when you're not there anymore. No.
I was actually writing out most of COVID there, and I wrote half of the album and arranged the music of the album in there because we were in the middle of this village in the middle of nowhere during a pandemic. So yeah, but no, I don't make it into Montreal too much. Quebec City, I sing there quite a bit during pre-COVID times.
Okay, so let's talk about the album. And like you and so many other singer-songwriters and artists, 2020 was a lot of writing and a lot of isolation. So this album, what kind of songs motivated you? And then now, I guess getting this album released is kind of different too as well, correct?
Oh, it's crazy. I had actually planned to record the album back a year ago in the end of March in 2020. And then, of course, you know, all heck broke loose. And it was interesting because I hadn't written music. My last album was 10 years before. And I had taken kind of a hiatus because we adopted our son. And, you know, for any new parents out there, you know what it's like trying to juggle bathing with childbearing, never mind a career. So I was doing gigs in Quebec. I have an agent in Quebec City, and I was doing gigs there, but mostly I was at home. And I hadn't written any music, and so I thought I'll include two originals that I wrote quite some time before, and then I'll just do cover songs and kind of arrange those a little bit differently. And when COVID hit, you know, because I'm normally a jazz artist, I felt like all the rules had just been tossed out the window, you know, and so I started arranging the songs, the jazz covers that I was doing, sort of in different ways, borrowing from, you know, country and pop and soul and funk. And then I started writing. And I wrote because I had this terrible parenting day. Like, you know those days where you're just like, you might as well just start putting money in the account for your child's therapy year later on, you know?
Let alone yours.
I was homeschooling, and any parent out there that had to do that deserves every amount of adulation that there is in this planet. I'd had a terrible day. My adoptive mom had died. And I needed advice, and she wasn't there. And I was downstairs, and I wrote this song called Mom. It's actually the next single we'll be releasing later this month. And it opened this gate for me of writing about fear and about comfort and solace as well. And I wrote these very sort of personal songs, and it informed the way I sang the songs that I had chosen for the album. I ended up writing six songs, and then kept losing standards as I went along. and it was a very powerful time. I know I'll remember that period for my life. It was really powerful for me.
And it was interesting going back, as you were talking about, you're kind of throwing your normal jazz go-to into other different genres. And I really kind of think music, especially this year, took that plunge. Like, there is crossovers galore, and, you know, you artists that you would normally hear on a country station, you hear on pop, and then pop would be country or rock. And I think it's beautiful. Your experience, I guess, getting into these different genres, too, probably was uplifting for yourself, even as an artist.
It was great, because what I did was I was listening to, I don't know about you, but for me, nostalgia was huge during the pandemic, those things that bring us comfort. So I was watching the Mary Tyler Moore Show, but I was also listening to old LPs that I had, because I had a little record player, and I was listening to the LPs that I used to listen to, the songs on the LPs that I used to listen to over and over and over again. And I started thinking, what do I like about this song? What is it that, you know, all these years later, I still listen to it and think, oh my God, that's perfect. And so it made me, it forced me to sort of look outside of the genres, because I have such a disparate taste in music over my lifetime, because I'm older and you know, our tastes change as time goes on. And then other artists were doing crazy things. Taylor Swift released a folk album.
Yeah.
Which was stunning. It was stunning. And Lila Bialy released a beautiful album. She's traditionally very jazz, and her album just spans the breadth of genre. It was a lawless year.
And will you go back to jazz? And we have to say that jazz really is a niche kind of genre. It hasn't seen the growth like what we call pop music. And all the artists are so unique in themselves and great storytellers, which I probably think is really important for you, right, Serafin?
Yeah. I love jazz, especially the American Songbook. By American, I mean the North American Songbook, which is the classics from, you know, Cole Porter and Noel Coward and, you know, stuff that Bing Crosby sang and Rosemary Clooney, those kind of songs. And, you know, you listen to those and you think, I did one of Rosemary Clooney's songs on the album, not one of her songs, but one of her signature pieces called You Came a Long Way from St. Louis. And it is the best, most badass song you can imagine for the 1950s, you know, there, you know, it's just, it's amazing to discover how common the lyrical threads are between them and now, and rediscovering those meanings. I find that very powerful.
And you can understand every single word that they're singing. Sorry, just saying.
Oh my God. Thank heavens for easylyrics.com, where you can just punch in and find out what the heck Elton John was singing in 1974 through a haze of Quaaludes. And, you know, it's a tiny dancer.
Yes, really. Yes. So I want to go to you personally. You did mention that you took a 10-year hiatus and, you know, you have a son who is now 10 years old, Nikki. And it is a real journey, like amazing journey that you've taken, Serafin. And I think it is something that, if you're willing to, I don't know, but share, because it is a powerful story. And, a great ending, too.
It is a continual revelation every day. And I don't use that word lightly or glibly. When you sit and you look at this person who is becoming, you know, now he's pre-adolescent, he's 10, and I'm looking at him and seeing the human being that he is becoming and rising to be, and it's frightening because I think, oh God, don't screw this up. But also it's amazing because, you know, he's just like people. He's got his own personality and his own, and I can remember the traits that he had as a child, as an infant, and see how they've sort of grown through time. And it's been a very powerful journey. And because we waited so long for him, because the adoption process is long, and we adopted him in the province of Saskatchewan. We were living there for a short time, and they made it so easy, but even still, it was a 2-year process. And, you know, we were told that we would have a hard time adopting because we're not a typical heterosexual couple, not a typical normative family. And they took extra good care of us. We hear about red tape, the bureaucracy in Saskatchewan and Regina, the social services were amazingly supportive. Mm. Canada has safeguards to prevent abuses of prejudice and abuses of exclusion, which I was so proud of to learn. I get emotional when I think about it. When I think how their main focus is having a child in a home. Mm-hmm. That's it. They want a child in a home. And so that process of getting a child, we had to do 9 months of coursework and learning and classes and then waiting. And then we ended up fostering Nikki at first. And it was 9 months of nail biting. Oh, will the adoption go through? 9 months long. And I think I kept the potato chip companies in business. Like, it was just to heck with the pandemic. That was the big one. And when it arrived, the slip from the judge arrived on my birthday on June 7th.
Oh, wow. And
I know. And I looked at it and I was like, I don't need anything else.
No. No, that is so amazing. And I guess now too, obviously life has changed, right? You're a parent and there's certain things you just can't go rent out and do a gig anymore. It's like a lot of planning before you step out of that door.
And ironically, COVID has actually been, I shouldn't say COVID, isolation has been kind of good for that, I suppose, or kind of conducive to that, because I can't go out and do a little tour right now. I can't go and do a bunch of gigs to release the album, which I would actually love to do. And I take my kid along and I give him my phone because he never gets to play video games. And I'm like, here, you can play a game on my phone. And of course, it's like crack cocaine to children, right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
but it has changed the way I have released an album. And I've never had that happened before. I just get notices, CBC is playing your album and Jazz FM is playing your album and these people are buying it. And Bandcamp, it went up live on Bandcamp and it had 900 listens within an 8-hour period, and now it's at like almost 4,000. Wow. And the music video for Take On Me that I released back in December that I shot myself and edited it's got 40,000 views on YouTube. So, but I haven't left my house.
So there you go. It is a real kind of a weird kind of situation, because we all want to see you live. Like, I would love to see you live, but if I can see a video, I'll take that. And it's so strange. Yeah. So I guess moving on, Seraphine, looking into the future, obviously writing more music. Mm-hmm. Will you still continue in the jazz? Or will you maybe become something else?
That's a really good question. I think I will always, five of the songs on the album are from a jazz sort of ethos. But I think, I've always had kind of a hard time fitting with jazz. I've been embraced in San Francisco and in Toronto and Quebec. Mm-hmm. I'm always a little bit different because my voice is kind of unusual and I don't know. It'll be interesting. And I can't scat to save my life. I sound like a child burbling into their cereal. Like, it just, it's not good. So I don't know. I think I would like to sit where I am for a while, which is straddling a bunch of different fences and see how that goes. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good place to be. So I am hoping that you are going to give us a song.
Yes, I would love to. The single, the first single we released in December, which was released on a whim. I was bored and wanted to do something. And we did this video and I learned how to edit and it did really well. And ironically, it's not jazz at all. I'd love to sing that for you if you're okay. It's one of my favorite songs from the 1980s because I'm an 80s kid. Mm-hmm. And it was done in a very sort of pop sort of way. And my first album 15 years ago was all pop songs redone as jazz tunes. But I wanted to take a pop song and do it as sort of a torch song, as a quiet, intense sort of piece. And so I took Take On Me from Aha. Uh-huh. Remember that video with the like yes. the cartoon, the Laragal sketchy cartoons and like
yes.
oh. big hair. And, oh, it's great. So I redid it. And it, you know what? The song holds up so well. I watched the video and I was like, this video is an amazing video.
Well, there you go.
So I got the rights and I recorded it. So yeah, I'd love to send that for you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Seraphine. Seraphine, lover of the air. We love you in Winnipeg. Can't wait to have you here perform live.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay.
Talking away. I don't know what I'm to say. I'm saying anyway. Today's another day to find you shining away. I'm still coming for your love and peace. Take on me. Take me on. I'll be gone in a day or two. So needless to say, I'm as an Esmond. I feel I'm stumbling away. I'm slowly learning that life can be okay. Save me. It's so better to be safe than sorry. Take on me. Take me up. I'll be gone. In a day or two. All the things that you say. Is it like just to play my worries away? You're all the things I've got to remember. You shine away. I'm still coming for you any day. Take on me. Take me. I'll be gone in a day or two.
Thanks for listening. This has been a production of ilikehugh.com. Podcast distribution from the Sound Off Media Company.
Hi, this is Candace Sampson, the voice behind What She Said. My show is your destination for stories that not only entertain, but also educate and empower. Every week, I spotlight strong female voices from across Canada. women who are changing the narrative and driving change. Don't miss out on these inspiring episodes. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music, or head over to whatshesaidtalk.com.
What She Said can also be heard on blasttheradio.com, Mondays at 5 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. That's blasttheradio.com.
It's time to dive into the stories that truly matter.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.
Another Sound Off Media Company podcast.